Hi there, and welcome to the next DBN podcast. My name is Melanie Cant, and today I'm joined by Owen Waitman from 3D Virtual Spaces. Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Melanie. Nice to see you this morning.
For those of you who don't know, we tried to do this yesterday, didn't we, Owen?
We did, and I didn't do my homework, Melanie.
Yeah, slap on the wrists for Owen. Actually, I think it worked out quite well because it's nice when you've got time to prepare and do your homework. So at least I've got an idea of what you're going to say. But anyway, not that it's staged. It's certainly not. So for the interest of our DBN members out there, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about 3D virtual spaces?
I can. It's difficult to explain, really, because it's a very visual thing. So first of all, my name's Owen Waitman, and I set up 3D virtual spaces about 2.5 years ago. After basically not having a very good work-life balance. And what we do is create 3D virtual models and virtual tours of buildings and businesses. So we make them interactive by adding tags and media. So this allows my clients to promote and market their business by letting potential customers of theirs anywhere in the world look around and interact with their businesses, in effect. Mm-hmm. So a very basic example would be something like a house. So it would enable people to look around a house remotely from anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world, get a good feeling for the house and decide whether they want to go ahead with a sale or not. But obviously it goes into a lot of different areas. It's been very useful during the pandemic, and it's been a good basis for people to kind of work with when people couldn't physically visit their businesses.
So Owen, how long have you been going for then? Because you said you left employment for that, the work-life balance, you know, because a lot of us do, don't we? You're chasing a dream
of a certain age. When we get to a certain age, we realize there's more things.
No comment.
Yeah, it was about 2.5 years ago when I set up the company, so it was just over 2 years ago when I officially left my last job, and I've never looked back. You know, I would certainly recommend if people have got a kind of creative ability and some kind of desire to control their own lives, then, you know, take that leap, because it's not difficult in my case, you know, and the business is coming, and it's just so much more enjoyable not having that kind of management structure above your head all the time.
I mean, it's not difficult if you've a skill or a trade, but it is a leap of faith, isn't it? It is to go from that security blanket to something that's completely unknown. But what a journey it is, isn't it? It's so much more rewarding.
And I think in my case, it was a leap of faith, and I did have certain securities behind what I did. For example, my wife is still working, you know, so I had that kind of financial blanket, if you like, safety blanket. But what I found was I started doing something that I didn't have any experience in. I realized that the technology was there and it was available at my fingertips, and I just had to learn about it as I started. But it wasn't something that I've got 30 years experience in. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's something that with technology these days, people can make that jump. And the clever people, the ones who create the technology in the background, and then the stupid ones like me, just use it and, you know, dazzle people sometimes, because it's a really nice tool to have at my fingertips, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously you're not that silly if you've been able to make it work for you. Can you tell me who your ideal customer is? What sort of customers you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think an ideal customer for me is an interesting customer, first of all, because what I like to do is pick and choose as much as I can. Mm-hmm. People and businesses which are interesting to me personally. A dream customer is really ones that provide repeat business as well. So for example, I've just visited a kitchen showroom, and the kitchen showroom itself obviously changes. It doesn't sound very exciting, but it changes products and displays every certain period. So they get me to come back, and that's kind of a nice repeat pattern. So that's the kind of customer that I'm trying to build up. I also like working for companies, again, for the same reason, with a lot of different departments. So for example, I worked for a big social housing company in the Northeast, and originally I started to scan and make models of care homes, and that enabled them to be able to show people what the care homes were like, rather than having the people drive from home to home to home. They can make that decision very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. But then they also created a customer-facing shop, which I got a project in that, and I'm also doing some show homes for them as well. So mm-hmm. that kind of business extends, because what I do can be adapted towards a lot of different industries and a lot of different businesses.
So that sounds really interesting and a really handy thing to have for your business if people can't see the new kitchen. I mean, during lockdown, I got a new kitchen fitted and it was the hardest thing in the world on just being able to go and pick kitchen just from a catalogue or from the website when you just see colours in a door. You see a kitchen in 3D and get the look and feel. It's a completely different kettle of fish there. So I totally understand that. So with that in mind then, what's the most interesting project you've worked on so far?
I think you've got to define what is interesting. What's interesting for me may not be for other people.
For you.
But I come from an industrial background and I've always been interested in kind of engineering and advanced technologies. So over the last few months, for example, I've worked in a lot of high-tech factories and labs, which is, to me, fascinating. It's taken me back to my kind of old work life without all of the pressure and the kind of grumpy managers that I used to work for. And the purpose of those models is so that the engineering company can actually provide a view into their manufacturing facilities to their clients. Once their clients can see it, then obviously they can then make the decision whether they want to visit in person or not. But what it does initially is save that time and money for travel that they would have spent maybe from internationally. And also it allows us to help the environment because they haven't jumped on an aeroplane and wasted all of that fuel to get across potentially for a wasted journey. So I think another interesting project that I've worked on, which I feel quite privileged sometimes. So I've been doing some work in Bowes Museum, for example, at Barnard Castle. And it's such a fantastic place to get in there, especially when the doors are closed. There's nobody allowed in because of COVID, you know, apart from the odd staff member. And I'm going in there and I'm making models of their exhibitions. And they're taking all the barriers down for me and they're taking all the signage away. So I just get the freedom of this whole exhibition for myself to make my model, just wander around without anybody interfering with me. And it's just fascinating. It's a real pleasure and a privilege to be able to do it, really.
It's years since I've been at Bowes Museum, to be honest.
They're opening on the 17th and you need to go.
Oh, do you know, I love anything like that. I love Beamish's. It, obviously the closest place to me, but it's my little happy place. But again, you know, anything like that, Bowes Museum, Cragside's yep. Beautiful as well. I could just walk around. I'm sure I should have been born 100 years earlier, or perhaps I'm reincarnated, who knows. but no, that's really interesting. And I can understand how you'd feel really privileged to be able to just walk around and get to appreciate these places on your own without people hovering around and looking over your shoulder. So
yeah, obviously I'm given a lot of trust, especially in the industrial places, because I'm just left to roam around and there's, you know, millions and millions of pounds worth of expensive equipment and all sorts of stuff. And my background comes in relatively handily because they do trust me on the safety aspect as well, because I'm familiar with the environment. So it's, you know, that's something that you have to consider if you're going to do a job like this, I think, that you could potentially be in semi-dangerous situations and you have to be either given training to be in a safe situation or you have to know what you're doing in the first place.
So Owen, obviously you're a DBN member. How long have you been a member of DBN now? It hasn't been that long.
Not very long. I was introduced by Anne English, so I've known Anne for a while and we've kind of collaborated a little bit in the past. And she mentioned that there was this lovely friendly group and I must try it. So I did, and I think it was about 3 months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Right, okay.
And it's a fantastic group, and I think one of the things that Anne told me about it initially is that everybody's so supportive, and you mentioned it again yesterday, Melanie. You know, everybody's prepared to help each other, and you know, make that extra effort where you don't get that in every networking group.
I think the difference with DBN has always been the support element, but also the referral source. So we realise that we can't always buy from each other, but when the opportunity arises, we do look within the DBN community first to see if anyone has a skill set to help us. However, we are always keeping an eye out. So if we encounter another business who is wanting some help with a particular skill set, they do tend to refer within DBN. Just lovely that they trust and get to know each other so well that they can do that without any hesitation. So with this in mind, then what would you like to get out of DBN in the next 12 months? Or obviously we'd like to meet you in person because we've only
loads of work. No, I think Personally, I would like to be able to help the other members of the group, and I don't really know everybody well enough to do that, and they don't know what I do, you know, so there's no, so I think one-to-ones are on my checklist, just to meet people, either in a face-to-face or in a Zoom meeting, whatever it may be. I think, personally, I think, yeah, face-to-face meetings are important, and they have a place, but I think keeping the Zoom aspect of it there as well, with people are familiar with Zoom now, and it definitely helps certain people like me. My stuff's very visual, so therefore I can easily show it on Zoom, whereas if I'm in a face-to-face meeting drinking a coffee, it becomes very difficult to explain. Yeah, and I think apart from that, just continue to meet the members and try and get them referrals and see how I can help other people.
Well, honestly, Owen, the few times that we've met you actually have dazzled us with your 3D being on Zoom and showed us what you've been doing, and it has. You did actually dazzle a few of our members, and long may it continue. So we're doing a network on Friday, and hopefully we should be able to have a face-to-face meeting a little bit later on in the year, because usually our meetings are quite well attended, and we would hate to turn anyone away. But yeah, we're not planning on getting rid of Zoom at any time, because I do see the importance for one of the reasons that you've just mentioned. You do get to network with people and talk to people on a wider scale when you Zoom in than what you would if you're in a face-to-face environment. Because you'd usually, if you go to a networking meeting, it's nice to see everyone, but also you only sort of get around a few little select groups, don't you? You don't get to talk to everyone, where you would probably meet a lot more on Zoom. So that's a good thing.
And I think there's that environmental aspect as well that I mentioned before. You know, you're not jumping in your car, you're not wasting your time traveling, you're not wasting your money on petrol or diesel. Yeah, and it works really well for particular aspects. And I think it's like office life is potentially going to change, so that you'll be in your office some of your time, you'll work from home some of the time, and I think networking is probably going to be the same in the future.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So Owen, if anyone would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
So I have a general email address of enquiries@3dvirtualspaces.co.uk. Mm-hmm. And my website, if anybody wants to look at the stuff that I'm doing, is www.3dvirtualspaces.co.uk.
And also they can connect with you on LinkedIn, can't they?
Absolutely. LinkedIn, I've got no idea what that is, but just search for me. And,
I know LinkedIn's
I've got a bit no of idea what my LinkedIn address is.
Owen, it's been lovely talking to you this morning, and I look forward to seeing you on future DBN meetings. So take care, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Melanie.